Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Friday, April 7, 2023. I'm Naima Latif, and today we're looking at stories in the news from the Supreme Court. USA Today reports that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas says he wasn't required to report trips with a Republican donor. In Washington Today, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas pushed back Friday against criticism after a report revealed he had secretly accepted lavish trips funded by a GOP donor over the past two decades, but failed to report them, a possible violation of federal law. This was reported by Michael Collins of USA Today. And in a statement, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas acknowledged that he and his wife, Jenny Thomas, had joined billionaire GOP mega donor Harlan Crow and his wife, Kathy, on a number of, quote, family trips during the more than a quarter century they have known them. He described the couple as, quote, among our dearest friends. He said, early in my tenure at the court, I sought guidance from my colleagues and others in the judiciary and was advised that this sort of personal hospitality from close personal friends who did not have business before the court was not reportable. He added, I have endeavored to follow that counsel throughout my tenure and have always sought to comply with the disclosure guidelines. And, of course, the guidelines are now being changed as the committee of the Judiciary Conference responsible for the financial disclosure for the entire federal judiciary has just this past month announced new guidance, according to Thomas, Justice Thomas. It is, of course, my intent to follow guidance in the future, Justice Thomas said. His statement came one day after ProPublica reported he had taken a series of lavish trips funded by Mr. Crow over the past two decades without disclosing them, a possible violation of federal law. Justice Thomas has accepted lavish gifts from the billionaire Dallas businessman nearly every year, which had included vacations on Mr. Crow's super yacht and trips to the billionaire's Bombardier Global 5,000 jet, as well as a week each summer at Mr. Crow's private resort in the Adirondacks, ProPublica reported, citing flight records, internal documents, and interviews with Mr. Crow's employees. The investigation comes as the nation's high court fends off requests for a code of ethics, which would likely address similar instances. The disclosures are the latest ethics controversy to follow Justice Thomas, who has also faced tough questions about incomplete financial disclosure forms and appearances at other political gatherings of wealthy conservative donors and influencers. Mr. Crow said in a statement that he and his wife's hospitality to Justice Thomas and his wife is, quote, no different from the hospitality we have extended to our many other dear friends. Advocates for more transparency and accountability on the court said the disclosures once again raised serious questions about the connections between conservative groups with access to Justice Thomas and whether they are improperly influencing the court. And reporter Michael Collins covers the White House, and you can follow him on Twitter at @mcollinsnews. And in other news today, we also follow what is happening in the city of Chicago, and the state of Illinois. In Illinois, the IDPH reports 14 Illinois counties at an elevated community level for COVID-19. In Chicago, the Illinois Department of Public Health, IDPH, announced today that the CDC is reporting 14 counties in the state that are at a medium community level for COVID-19 this week compared to 13 a week ago. There are no counties at high level for the third straight week. IDPH has recorded a total of 4,116,356 cases and 36,648 deaths in 102 counties in Illinois since the beginning of the pandemic. The department is reporting 7,195 new confirmed and probable cases of COVID-19 in Illinois in the week ending April 2nd and 14 deaths. It continues to be welcome news that COVID-19 community levels are remaining low throughout most of Illinois, said IDPH Director Dr. Samir Varra. However, as spring arrives, so does the potential for common springtime illnesses. As many families across Illinois come together to celebrate their faith traditions this weekend, as well as travel during spring break, let's continue to practice good health techniques to protect our family and friends who are at risk of serious illness, he said. The CDC this week released data indicating an increase in positive tests for common cold and stomach viruses in recent weeks, including norovirus, respiratory adenovirus, and human parainfluenza viruses. IDPH urges Illinoisans who are experiencing cold and stomach flu symptoms to take preventative measures. And, of course, and urging that they take those preventive measures if they are around friends and relatives who are vulnerable to severe health outcomes. They may want to be very cautious and make sure they cover coughs and have good ventilation. Also, they remind people to remember proper hand hygiene, including washing hands and using hand sanitizer. IDPH urges the public to seek treatment for COVID-19 quickly if they test positive for COVID-19. Treatment is widely available, and IDPH announced recently that SIU Medicine has made it easier to obtain care by offering a new telehealth test to treat service for COVID-19 in partnership with the department. The service is aimed at providing faster and easier access to treatment for Illinoisans who contract COVID-19. Those who test positive are encouraged to call 217-545-5100 from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays to schedule a telehealth appointment to determine if medical treatment is recommended. Appointments will be offered on a first-come, first-served basis. Additional options for obtaining tests and treatments can be found at the following test-to-treat site or by contacting your provider for treatment options within 5 days of feeling ill. IDPH is helping Illinoisans stay prepared for any future surge of COVID-19 cases by offering 1 million free COVID-19 rapid antigen tests to Illinois residents in all zip codes outside the city of Chicago through a partnership with the Rockefeller Foundation's public charity, RF Catalytic Capital, and its Project ACT, which stands for Access COVID Test Program. Through Project ACT, IVPH is distributing up to 1 million at-home antigen tests to 200,000 Illinois households. You can request one package of five tests on a first-come, first-served basis at the Project ACT website. The test will be delivered to the home address. Free or low-cost COVID-19 testing locations are also available throughout the state, including Chicago, and can be found on the IDPH website testing locator page. The CDC authorized two new bivalent booster vaccines on September 1st that include an mRNA component of the original strain to provide an immune response that is broadly protective against COVID-19, and an added mRNA component in common between the Omicron variant BA.4 and BA.5 lineages to provide better protection against COVID-19 caused by the Omicron variant. Initially, the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine, bivalent, was authorized for use as a single booster dose in individuals 18 years of age and older, and the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine, bivalent, was authorized for use as a single booster dose in individuals 12 years of age and older. On October 12th, the CDC authorized the updated COVID-19 vaccines from Pfizer BioNTech for children aged 5 through 11 years, and from Moderna for children and adolescents aged 6 through 17 years. On December 9, the CDC expanded its authorization for bivalent boosters to include children aged 6 months to 5 years. Children ages 6 months through 5 years who previously completed a Moderna primary series can now receive a Moderna bivalent booster 2 months after their final primary series. Children ages 6 months through 4 years who are completing a Pfizer primary series will receive a Pfizer bivalent vaccine as their third primary dose. On March 14th, the FDA expanded its authorization for bivalent boosters to include children aged 6 months to 4 years who had previously completed their entire Pfizer primary series with the monovalent vaccine. These children will now be able to receive the Pfizer bivalent vaccine as their booster at least 2 months after completion of the primary series with the monovalent vaccine. The children in this age group who completed their Pfizer primary series with the bivalent booster as their third dose after December 2022 are not eligible for a booster dose of a bivalent vaccine at this time. The updated boosters are available at pharmacies, hospitals, and other healthcare providers. The best way to locate a vaccine provider near you is to visit www.vaccines.gov and search for the bivalent booster availability. As of last night, 703 individuals in Illinois were reported to be in the hospital with COVID-19. Of those, 79 patients were in the ICU and 21 patients with COVID-19 were on ventilators. The preliminary 7-day statewide case rate is 57 COVID-19 cases per 100,000 Illinoisans. In counties at the medium community level, persons who are elderly or immunocompromised, meaning at risk of severe outcomes, are advised to wear a mask in indoor public places. They should also get up-to-date COVID-19 vaccines or get their bivalent booster if eligible, stated the Illinois Department. The IDPH has been supporting pharmacies and healthcare providers in efforts to increase their inventories of the various FDA-authorized treatments. There are over 1,200 treatment locations in Illinois, including all the major retail pharmacies. More than 96.7% of the state's population is within a 10-mile radius of one of these locations. A total of 26,114,025 vaccines have been administered in Illinois as of today. The 7-day rolling average of vaccines administered daily is 2,646 doses, including the bivalent booster and first doses. Since March 31st, 18,521 vaccine doses were reported administered in Illinois. Of Illinois' total population, more than 79% have received at least one COVID-19 vaccine dose. More than 71% have completed their primary series of COVID-19 vaccines, and more than 19% have received the bivalent booster dose, according to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Data indicates that the risk of hospitalization and severe outcomes from COVID-19 is much higher for unvaccinated people than for those who are up to date on their vaccines, on their vaccinations. All data are provisional and are subject to change. Additional information and COVID-19 data can be found at https://dph.illinois.gov/COVID19.html. Vaccinations is the key to ending this pandemic. To find a COVID-19 vaccination location near you, go to www.vaccines.gov. The federal government has established a new website that provides an all-purpose toolkit with information on how to obtain masks, treatment, vaccines, and testing resources for all areas of the country at https://www.covid.gov. And this report came from the state of Illinois, cms.iisnews@illinois.gov. And that was the report from the state of Illinois, the governor's office, the Illinois e-news release. And Chicago continues to prepare for an orderly transition. However, the mayor also is continuing her duties as mayor prior to the inauguration of the new mayor. And part of those duties include celebrations for its citizens. Mayor Lori Lightfoot and First Lady Amy Eshelman invite the Muslim community to attend the 2023 Eid al-Fitr celebration, and that will be held Monday, April 24, 2023, at the Chicago Cultural Center at 78 East Washington. In Presley Bradley Hall. Doors open at 5 o'clock p.m. And for more information, go to events, M-O-C-E, at cityofchicago.org. And for more news today on the on-air daily news, we take a look at some of the latest responses as a result of the Chicago election. And yesterday was a photo opportunity as Mayor-elect Brandon Johnson arrived at City Hall to get a tour and have a meeting with Mayor Lori Lightfoot in preparation of a smooth transition. Having a seamless change in government is said to be the hallmark of American democracy, and in Chicago, the desire, of course, was to maintain that tradition and to make sure that government functions continue without any hiccups, even as there may be staff changes as a result of the changing position of mayor. There also will be a number of changes in the city council, as many new city council members will be preparing to take office and will need to learn the ropes in those first few months in office. And with a new mayor also comes new responsibilities for determining budget priorities, as well as taking care of some of those campaign promises to address the issues of public safety. In New Orleans today, the New Orleans Agenda reports that legendary saxophonist Sir Edward Kid Jordan dies at age 87. Kid Jordan was recognized as a jazz maverick back in the 1940s, intent on exploring jazz music's outer reaches. In recognition of his great musical achievements, knighthood was bestowed on him by the Republic of France, where he holds the title Chevalier des Arts et Lettres. In New Orleans, the legendary saxophonist Sir Edward Kid Jordan passed away peacefully in his sleep at home with family members on Friday, April 7, 2023. Jordan is acclaimed internationally as one of the true master improvisers. Indie jazz aptly described Kid Jordan as a genteel man who probably is the single most underdocumented jazz musician of his generation, a fact that is even more remarkable when you consider that he was also one of the busiest musicians in the world. Sir Jordan was recognized as a jazz maverick back in the 1940s, intent on exploring jazz-rooted music's outer reaches. This virtuoso unselfishly shared his gift of and passion for music for more than 50 years, 34 of which he spent at Southern University at New Orleans, SUNO, until he retired in 2006 as head of the Jazz Studies Program. Sir Jordan performed on tenor, baritone, soprano, alto, C melody, and sopranino saxophones, as well as contrabass and bass clarinets. He's performed and recorded with a broad array of musicians in styles ranging from R&B to avant-garde jazz, including Lena Horne, Aretha Franklin, Nancy Wilson, Gladys Knight, Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, The Temptations, R.E.M., Art Neville, Aaron Neville, Johnny Adams, Deacon John, Ellis Marsalis, Cannonball Adderley, Alvin Batiste, Archie Shepp, Dewey Redman, Fred Anderson, Ornette Coleman, Sun Ra, William Parker, Hamid Drake, Alan Silva, Ed Blackwell, and Cecil Taylor, among others. He was a member of two prominent New Orleans bands, William Houston and Herb Tassin. The Improvisation Arts Quintet, a group he founded in 1975 with drummer Alvin Fielder, bassist London Branch, trumpeter Clive Carr, and saxophonist Alvin Thomas, which later included pianist Daryl Levine, pianist Joel Butterman, bassist Elton Heron, flutist Kent Jordan, and trumpeter Marlon Jordan has recorded a remarkable catalog of free-flowing, instinctive, interactive avant-garde music in which collective passages of sounds are more than personal freedom, but an evolution of complementary imagery moving together and apart, each artist coming in, becoming an ear, an eye, and most of all, a heart for the sake of the creative spiritual soul. Citing him as a visionary educator and performer, the French government recognized Sir Jordan in 1985 as a knight, Chevalier of the Ordre des Arts et des Lettres, their nation's highest honor. In May of 2017, Sir Jordan received an honorary Doctor of Music degree from Loyola University, New Orleans, a distinction reserved at Loyola for eminent individuals whose lives of achievement and service exemplify the philosophy of Jesuit education. For the past three decades or so, Sir Jordan has had a highly productive and close relationship with drummer Alvin Fielder and bassist William Parker. Jordan developed a close musical relationship with innovative pianist Joel Futterman back in the early 90s, and they continue to perform and record together. Sir Jordan's first recording was titled No Compromise, and that very accurately expresses his personal conviction about his music. He's a New Orleans resident, born in Crowley, Louisiana, on May 5th, 1935. And that was reported by the New Orleans Agenda, your alternative newsletter for news, art, culture, and entertainment. So that is all for today's on-air daily news. You've been listening to the on-air daily news for Friday, April 7th, 2023. I'm Naima Lateef, and we urge you to tune on in next week, Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern. We give you the latest updates, information, news, and sometimes interviews from across the world, across the nation, across the city, and across the street, keeping you informed of news that can affect your daily life, from the business community, elected officials, community activists, and those who are making a difference. You can call in during our broadcast at 515-605-9749 and report your positive news. We're here to give you insight, the activities in your neck of the woods are affecting local, national, and international lives, and how you can do the same. Until next Monday, enjoy the rest of your day.